So I'm Amanda Fairbanks, and I'm an education reporter at the Huffington Post.
And the web address, please?
The web address is www.huffingtonpost.com.
We are rolling. Amanda, tell me about your new article at the Huffington Post about college students using sugar daddies to pay off loan debt. Has it come to that?
You know, indeed, I believe it has. I focus on 20-somethings and their challenges at finding employment after they get out of college. And I found a lot with just an enormous amount of debt, sort of looking for, a sugar daddy to help pay it off. And I was quite astounded by the numbers that I interviewed right here in New York City.
Now, by a sugar daddy, you might as well spell it out. Tell us, what exactly do you mean?
So in many ways, these websites that offer sort of sugar daddy and sugar baby arrangements are very similar to kind of a traditional dating website, like a Match.com or an OkCupid. You know, users post a profile, they have a picture, their interests, their hobbies. But then the way in which this is quite different is the users then also list what they're looking for in terms of an arrangement. So they might list the fact that they have college debt or that they're a currently enrolled college student. And then at the end of their profile, they list what they're looking for in terms of a sugar daddy. So some of these women are asking for, you know, a $1,000 a month arrangement, up to a $10,000 a month arrangement. And a lot of them are using the money to pay off their debt.
So they come right out and say what they want. There's nothing coy, you know, that they're just looking for an older man and see what comes of it. They spell out what they need.
Yes, they absolutely do spell out what they need. There's a bit of a controversy over whether or not this is actually prostitution and sort of an exchange of sex for money, which may occur and does occur off of the site. But on the site itself, it's just simply advertising, you know, what they're looking for and what they're hoping to do with their monthly allowance.
Well, that was my next question. You spoke with quite a few of these women. Do they think what they are doing is prostitution?
You know, some of them do and some of them don't. I interviewed about 8 different women here in the city. One was a student at Hunter College. Another one went to NYU. One was a Sarah Lawrence graduate. And, you know, some of them are really, really torn in terms of what they're doing and how they define it. You know, I think it becomes quite clear if you meet a gentleman for an afternoon and afterwards he gives you a wad of cash, you know, that feels a lot like prostitution because, in fact, it very well is. On the kind of flip side of things is the kind of ongoing monthly arrangement whereby, you know, an older man gives you a certain amount of money and you meet up with him, you know, periodically throughout the month, you know, for dinner, for drinks, and then obviously sex, but that it becomes sort of a more involved kind of regular thing. And then I think for these women, it gets a little bit difficult, you know, to categorize exactly what that is.
Do they keep this pretty much a secret, do they tell other people, like their families?
No, they absolutely keep it a huge secret. You know, they may tell kind of one or two friends, generally as a kind of safety precaution to let them know where it is that they're headed. But they, you know, none of them have revealed their secret to their parents. You know, even most of their friends are absolutely clueless.
Is there a lot of shame involved with this, or, hey, I have to do what I have to do, or I guess it would vary with the woman?
You know, it does vary with the woman, but, you know, I think any time that you're engaged in kind of a dual identity and in one part of your life you're one version of yourself and another you have to kind of morph into this other person, I think there's kind of a cognitive dissonance element. I mean, there is definitely shame and I think a bit of humiliation involved. I mean, no woman wants to resort to this, especially college-educated women, you know, coming out of school, brimming with, you know, possibility and hoping to make the best of things.
And who are these guys?
So I interviewed one of these guys here in the city, and he was a 70-year-old sugar daddy. He claims that he only likes to have sex with 25-year-old women, and that this is the way he goes about meeting them. In the kind of universe of the site, there are about 800,000 members on one site that I looked at, which is called SeekingArrangement.com. And of those 800,000 members, about 115,000 are sugar daddies. And of those sugar daddies, which kind of range in age from about 30 to, you know, upwards of 70, about 40%, according to the founder, are married men.
So they find each other on these various websites.
Right.
And
right.
That's sort of the new focus of your article.
My focus is specifically, yes, exactly, on sort of the college women, whether it's, you know, currently enrolled students or recent graduates using these websites to pay off their debt. Yes, absolutely.
How much are these women typically making?
You know, it really varies. One woman I profiled made $350 for basically an afternoon of sex with a much older gentleman. And I've spoken to another woman who, you know, is on a $5,000 a month retainer with a very prominent executive here in New York City.
Do you think this is a new kind of phenomenon, or because of the bad economy and the soft job market and like that, or do you think it's something that's been around forever?
You know, I think it's been around forever. I think that this technology is sort of pushing it farther and faster in a direction that maybe it was already headed. You know, on the site, they've seen a 350% increase in the numbers of students using their services. And, you know, I really think that that's indicative of the times in which we're living. I mean, I don't think that we'd be seeing this back in 2007, you know, before the economic collapse. I really think that this is a combination of things. I mean, they're coming out of school. They have a tremendous amount of debt. The average graduate has $27,000 in student loan payments they're facing. And, you know, they're either not getting jobs or they're not getting great jobs, and that paying off, you know, their monthly bills in addition to this debt is just proving too much, you know, for them to handle.
Now, obviously there are dangers to doing this on the worst side, being raped or killed, or being recognized later on. You have a professional career and you've moved on, and here this sugar daddy comes back into your life.
Certainly.
Talk about that, if you would.
Well, you know, I think a lot of these women seem to not really worry about that too much, which I found a little puzzling. I mean, the sites are password protected, so unless you're a member of the site, you can't necessarily search the pictures. But, you know, they're very, very easy to join. I joined a number of them for my reporting. And, you know, I think employers, you know, would probably do well to make sure that their potential employees are not on them. I mean, I just think in this economy, you know, you don't want anything working against you. And certainly, you know, the danger element of just wanting to, you know, you just never know who you're going to interact with. And I think a lot of these women, you know, they meet up with these men in public as a sort of a safety, you know, precaution. Mm-hmm. But, you know, by the time you get behind closed doors, you just never really know, you know, who this person is going to be.
How hard was it for you to connect with someone?
You mean in terms of my reporting with these women?
Yeah.
You know, it was difficult. I mean, I probably sent out, oh gosh, upwards of maybe 100 queries just here in the city. And, you know, obviously lots of people engaged in secretive work are not very keen on talking to a reporter about it. So, you know, eventually I sort of convinced them and you know, promised to withhold their identity as much as I could. You know, conducted a lot of these interviews on background and then went back to them later for their permission. And just really kind of spent a lot of time with them. I mean, you know, in the third meeting with someone, I think they grew quite comfortable. And, you know, probably the fact that I'm a young woman as well, you know, made my case a little bit easier.
For your reporting, did you try to set yourself up as one of these looking for a sugar daddy, or didn't you go that far?
No, I didn't. I didn't quite take it that far.
Yeah.
It was very difficult to get any of the sugar daddies to speak with me. I could literally only get the one 70-year-old that I interviewed.
I guess he figures at that age, what the heck? You know, right? Right.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, in talking about the dangers, though, of doing this, emotional problems, I mean, that would be huge, I would think.
I think the emotional piece is huge. And I think sometimes when you're in your early 20s and you're doing kind of high risk behavior, you know, you don't necessarily realize how much this stuff is going to stay with you.
Yeah.
One of the women I profiled, you know, sort of gets on the train. She went and met a very older, you know, an older wealthy gentleman in Greenwich, Connecticut. She gets $350. She gets back on the train to come back home to Harlem. And she's thinking, you know, what the heck did I just do? I mean, how did my life sort of come to this? And I think that the sort of psychological element, you know, is what remains, you know, even after they've gotten money. You know, it's just, it's a really, really tough thing for them to deal with.
Amanda, there's a movie there. There's that's right. That's a movie scene right there. You get back on the train, you think, oh my God.
What did I just do? Right?
Yes, yes, yes. Also, you know, it is such a dangerous behavior. We don't even talk about STDs and things like that.
No, I mean, that's a huge risk. I mean, you know, they claim, at least to me, that they're using protection. You know, there's STDs, there's pregnancy, there's you name it. You know, I think, again, this is part of their brain that just kind of has to shut off to do what they're doing. You know, and not worry about it too much, which I found, you know, incredibly troublesome.
Wow. Was it hard to let go of this story after you did it? I mean, have you still been thinking about it long after you posted it?
You know, I have been thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, I spent about a month reporting it and meeting with these women, and, you know, there was something really compelling and I guess quite vulnerable about them. And you know, I speak to a lot of despairing 20-somethings in my reporting in general, but something about this degree of desperation, you know, has really stuck with me and I think is very much indicative of the kind of horrible times in which we're living. And, you know, I think when I think about it, it's very, very sad to me.
So for our listeners who want to read your story for themselves, tell us where to go.
So you'd go to thehuffingtonpost.com, and you can just type in probably sugar babies, and it'll pop right up. It's become very viral. We've gotten, you know, tens of thousands of comments, and it's really been a lot of fun to watch.
I'll bet. I can't wait to hear what you're writing next. It's great.
Yeah, stay tuned.
All right. Well, thank you so much for doing the interview. You were great.
Yeah. And, thank you so much. I really appreciate your interest.
And Amanda, the next story, come back and do it again, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.